Hey, y'all, welcome back. This is episode 309 of the Late Night Vision Show. This Thursday and every Thursday, this show is dedicated to you, the night hunter. Whether you're running around at night with a thermal or night vision, if you're chasing hogs, if you're trying to call in those coyotes, we talk about it right here. We got a great show for you today. And to help me kick it off and to help me introduce it, the owner of Outdoor Legacy, Mr. Jason Robertson. Good evening, sir. Good to hear your voice again.
I tell you what, I do think I'm here to help you because this was your third time trying to get this thing, get this show rolling. You know, it's funny. We do this show.
If it doesn't make it in the show, if it gets chopped off in editing, then it didn't really happen. So
that's right.
I mean,
it's
not really.
This show is a one take deal. So that's why when we say stupid things in the middle of it, they're still there, and we screw up and they're still there. But sometimes like, you know, jump starting the show and getting it started in the intro is the funny part. We do pretty good, but Hans, he fumbled it a couple of times.
After 300 weeks of doing this, we've gotten better. But the intro, it's like trying to you know, get the plane to take off the runway with only one engine running. You know, it's like, oh man, you're just trying to jump start it. But yeah, it's a struggle.
You got to get it rolling. But we're going downhill now, so we're picking up momentum. You know,
well, so the show that we have today for y'all. Now we've done some reviews. We've done quite a few reviews back to back. And those are great. Those are fun. We like talking about them. We love the interaction. But the show that we're doing tonight and what we're doing right now is we are taking questions from you, the listeners. And these are probably my favorite shows. And the reason is because it kind of puts Jason on the spot sometimes. And we get to back him into a corner and see if we can make him a little bit uneasy because he doesn't like to fly by the seat of his pants, which is completely opposite for me. I love it. But we get to talk about topics that are good topics. They're questions from you, but they might be a good topic, but not enough to fill a whole show. So it's almost like, Jason, and we were talking about this earlier, you almost get to do like several mini shows into one. So if you are hearing about something, we're going to be talking about hog hunting, coyote hunting. So if you're hearing something, you're like, oh, they're talking about hogs and I have never seen a hog in my life. I'm in, you know, wherever, Minnesota, wherever you're at. And you're like, we don't hog hunt. We just hang on 5 or 6 or 7 minutes and we'll be talking about something else. That's what's great about these shows.
Hans is exactly right. I like the format of the show. I don't like sometimes he springs these questions on me. And,
exactly.
So that's the part that is sometimes not my favorite. But no, I do like that we get to change directions. And I think I have ADD anyway, so that's pretty good. It's hard for me to stay on topic for a long time. But hey, one quick thing before we get started in this, I want to say first, if you've got a question, something like this, that you're like, I'd like to know what these guys think about this or whatever, ask it in the comments. Just leave that there. And that's something you can say, hey, next time you do one of these, here's a question I'd like to hear y'all talk about or whatever. And that way we'll know that. That way we won't try to answer it right there in the questions or say, hey, call us or whatever. But it'll be something that we can jot down. And so that's kind of what we do. And we've got a bunch more of these, so we can do more of these shows. And we do like doing them. They get views. They're not as popular as the reviews and things, but we really like doing them because they're fun. And so, one more thing before we jump into this, guys, if you're looking for a night vision or a thermal scope and you're wanting to get into this, maybe, right now there's a lot of guys that are saying, I just want to get a handheld. I want to start with that. I mean, a lot of guys are telling me that, they're not even necessarily like I might hunt, but I want to use it on the farm. I want to use it camping. I want to use it, you know, in the backyard. My wife kind of wants to have it for security. So there's some other reasons to get something like that. So maybe you're not even looking for a scope, but whatever it is, we would love to have your business at Outdoor Legacy. This is what Hans and I do full time for a living. We use every single thermal optic that we sell. Use them in the field, test them. We know how they compare to other optics, and we're here to help you figure out exactly what you need. The one thing we always say about these optics are they are tools, and you need the right tool for the job. If you could just walk up and pick any one of them off of a shelf and it would fit your scenario perfectly, then we wouldn't have a job. But it's not that easy. They're very specific, a lot of them, in what they will do and what they won't do. So give us a call at 877 877- 350-1818. Hans will put the website address there, but it's outdoorlegacygear.com. And we would love to have your business. We would love to talk to you, help you any way that we can. Hans, let's jump into these questions.
Yeah. So we got a couple of questions for each of us. And first of all, if you have a question and you someday want to make it on the show with your question, go to the comment section on YouTube right now and type it in there. Say, hey, this is a question I have, and we'll jot it down somewhere, and we may or may not get to it at some point down the road. But these are just things that kind of stuck out to us. So, Jason, I've got the first question for you, and this is something that you and I were talking about not even that long ago. The question goes, Jason, we're planning another hog hunting trip to Texas this summer, and we're hoping for a lot of action. Haven't seen many hogs in the past couple of years, but been hearing about a hog resurgence. Are Texas hogs making a comeback? And, you know, well, we'll talk about it, but that has been a thing. There's been a lot of people that have been kind of disappointed coming to Texas over the past couple of years, and it's been really slow.
Yeah, so I have to give the full disclaimer. And the disclaimer is that whenever this discussion comes up, I do understand that it is it's a regional discussion. But it's also a location-specific discussion, meaning I can talk about right now, I've got hogs. I've got a lot of hogs. I have more hogs on my farm here than I've had. I mean, in the last 8 months to a year, I've had more hogs than I had in the previous 5 years combined. So I got a lot of hogs. And I could go down the road 3 miles, talk to somebody else, and they go, man, I haven't got any hogs. You know, and so it is specific. I want to be clear. Mm-hmm. Is like one property may have them, the next property may not. There's some of that going on. But then it gets, you know, then it goes out from there regionally, just talking about Texas. And Texas is like a whole bunch of states all in one.
Yeah, it is.
It's so big. But I would say there is, and again, there's going to be people say, no, we've always had hogs. I don't know what you're talking about. But I can just tell you for a fact, we've talked to enough people. We talked to thousands of people, thousands and thousands a year, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds every month, all over Texas and all over the country. But I can tell you that there is no question that the hog population of what landowners and hunters are seeing has been way down over the last several years. No question about it. We've seen way less hogs. And again, there are pockets. There are people that are like, I know what you're talking about. I always have hogs. And that's true. I'm not denying that's true. But I do think that overall, generally speaking, hog populations have been down. And what you brought up was a great point. I've talked to a lot of guys from out of state that are like, man, we paid big bucks. We came to Texas and we couldn't kill a hog. We couldn't, or we saw two hogs, or we ended up on, some high fence deal where they were like dumping them in there and breeding them. And that's kind of, what we ended up having to shoot because we couldn't go out and find any. And that's been an issue. I mean, they have been harder to find in a lot of areas. And the reasons why, that's all up for debate. But I will say, generally speaking, I do think there's been somewhat of a resurgence. Like I said, I know just specifically on our place here, my place that I live on, we got a lot more hogs. You've got a lot more hogs. I'm talking to more and more people that are guys that may not even really be hunters. They may just be farmers and say, I'm not looking to do this for fun, but man, I got to go kill some hogs. They're getting serious and hadn't had any in a long time. And so, yes, I do think there's somewhat of a resurgence. I don't think the numbers are where they were, 5-10 years ago. But I do think that they're getting more. And listen, Texas Parks and Wildlife, those people all have degrees in this, and I'm sure they could come out and tell us the numbers are, bigger every single, I don't know what they're going to say, but I just know talking to feet on the ground, talking to farmers, talking to landowners, talking to hunters, that it's definitely been down. But right now it does seem like the numbers are going up, and it depends on, again, where you're at, what part of the state you're on, that sort of thing.
So it was two or three years ago or so where it seemed like there was a year, maybe even a little bit longer, where you just didn't see that many hogs at all. And there was a lot of speculation as far as, well, we had a really bad winter a few years ago, and they're thinking, well, maybe the winter killed a lot of them off. There was, but it was weird because you didn't really see less deer. You were just only seeing less hogs. We also had a drought within that period. And I know that in years past, we had a drought, pretty bad drought 10 years ago or so. And during that period too, the hogs pretty much disappeared. So I think those conditions, I don't know, maybe COVID killed them off. You know, nobody knows. But yes, it was definitely slow. And the question is, have they come back? And Jason, you're exactly right. They have come back. What I have noticed, and what you've even mentioned to me before, we don't have as many big hogs as we used to. Remember? Not that a 200-pound hog was common, but it was a lot more common than it is now that I've seen. I mean, it's been...
Oh, by far. I mean, killing a 200 to a 225, 240. I mean, a 250-pound pig's a big pig. I don't care where you're at. That's a big pig. But 200 to 225, that was a pretty big deal. It was exciting. I mean, you could get one. But it wasn't, I don't want to say like every time you go hunting or anything like that, but it wasn't uncommon for a guy like you or me who do a lot of hunting to come up on a good hog like that. Man, I haven't seen, even with all the hogs that I've got right now, and I mean, I do have a lot and have had a lot, I might one time back in the winter, I saw a big hog. I didn't get him killed, but I would say he might have been close to 200, but no, the hogs are a much more average size. I just don't think we're seeing those big old boars yet.
Yeah. And when you see them on camera, like when I have a camera and there's a group of pigs, I'm like, oh, there's a big one in that group. Well, no, it's not that big. It's just the other ones are really small and it makes the other one look bigger. You know, I have been reading, and maybe if you've heard of this, we haven't talked about it. It looks like they've approved the limited use of a poison called kaput.
I hope you weren't going to bring that up. And I was like, I hope he doesn't bring that up. I don't really know much about it.
Talked about it, but I did read that it's got to be administered by a licensed, I'm looking at here, a licensed applicator. So it's not anybody can go out there and throw out poison, but it looks like they have kind of approved it.
Texas
limited,
approved it.
And I had a buddy that he said that he had farmer friends that are having them delivered by the 18-wheeler load. So, I mean, it looks like some of this is about to get serious. And this isn't part of the topic, and we should address this later on. But there are guys that are reaching out to us from all over the country that are saying, man, y'all are supposed to have this big, huge hog problem and they're a big nuisance, but yet the landowners want to charge you $600 a night to come out and hunt them, you know, and I'd still get that quite a bit, you know, that the people that want to come to Texas to hunt hogs, you know, that they're having to pay such a high premium to do so. So yeah, there's a balance between getting rid of a problem and also kind of dealing with how did
that's
that
a, that's a whole nother topic. I know that there's a lot of farmers in parts of the country that get deer deprivation permits where they've got deer that are, you know, damaging their crops. There's so many and they've got to go out and kill deer, and nobody's ever invited us to come out there and, you know, slaughter deer for free. So that's I don't think so. All right, listen, let's move on. All right, so next question is going to be for Hans. This is a good question, and this is more than one person has kind of asked this, but it's directed towards Hans because he's been posting a lot of these videos of the InfraRay Outdoor M6T. It's Hans, you've been posting a lot from the vehicle-mounted thermals on Instagram, Facebook. Are the vehicle-mounted thermals and thermal drones practical tools, or are they just tactical? Are they just are they a toy, or are these real tools? And should everybody go sell their firstborn and go pick one of these up? What are your thoughts?
I would say, from a biased point of view, because we do sell both, so this is something that we do deal in. It is definitely tactical. Let me tell you, when I set that vehicle mounted thermal, the M6T, up on my truck and I drive around, I feel like Boss Hog driving through the drive through of a Dairy Queen, you know, asking for an extra large.
You look like Boss Hog with that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I'm pretty special. I'm going to tell you, I was, you know, I didn't have a negative perspective of these tools, but I did wonder how they could work in different applications or different environments like ours, where it's lots of woods and lots of trees and not a lot of open fields. Obviously, after getting out and using the vehicle mounted thermal, and you have a lot of experience with the thermal drones, man, there is definitely uses out there for them. I'll tell you, well, starting with the thermal drones, you're seeing a lot of video online on social medias of just these cool videos of people using them to spot hogs, or just getting some really cool video spotting them, or even kind of herding hogs into a certain direction, like towards them. But just the ability and you know, going out with you, Jason, and seeing you operate that little thermal drone that you've got, you know, just taking that thing off and within 20 seconds, you're several hundred yards away and you're like, yep, there's a group of hogs. I mean, imagine having that if you're trying to cover, and as quick and easy as it is to launch the drone and land the drone, you're talking about a matter of seconds, and being able to hit a bunch of different properties and covering, you can cover so much more property with a thermal drone. And we're not talking about a thermal drone that fits in the bed of your truck. We're talking about one that fits in like a little, you know, a little bag, a little travel case. I mean, they're tiny, but you have the ability to locate large groups of game that you would have to get out and pull the truck into a gate, open the gate, you know, either walk down or drive down. I mean, you're talking about so much more time. So you see these being used a lot more often. The popularity is growing, not just because they're tactical. I mean, that was only to a certain point. That's only for social media, but people are buying them. And the reason why they're getting so popular is because there is a practical use for them. It does make the job easier. It does make it a little bit more fun and enjoyable, but man, they're so effective. The thermal drones. I'll let you chime in there, and then I'll talk about the vehicle mounted and how I've used it too, if you want to talk about drones.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do real quick is I just wanted to talk real briefly about that and say that they are legit. They're a lot of fun. It's, you know, the thermal drones, just like normal thermal, you know, you can use it during the day or night, but here's what has happened. The price has gotten right. You know, we sell the DJI drones. And by the way, guys, if you're interested in one of these, give us a call. Myself and our other salesman, Ashley, we've got a lot of experience with these. Ashley's got all of his commercial licenses and everything to fly these things. He's got one of the much more expensive, I think it's the, I don't want to say it wrong, Mavic 30T, I think is his. He's got the big daddy of them all, but I've got the little quote cheap one. But here's the thing, they've gotten less expensive. I mean, yeah. So the Mavic 3T, which is the one I've got, it's $5,500 retail. I mean, that's, I know you go $5,500. Yeah, but they used to be 10. I mean, and it's unbelievable. The daytime camera, the thermal, it's 640. It's really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. Here's my opinion. I think that they're getting to a point that if you've got the money, I mean, this is, let's be honest, this is a toy. All right. This is fun money for most people. I mean, I know there's some guys that are farming and things they can, you know, it's absolutely something they can use. I don't want to say a necessity, but maybe it's getting to that point for them. But for the average hunter, it's a toy, it's a tool, it's fun. But you said something I think is key. You've got to have a lot of property to justify this. Mm-hmm. If you're hunting on 100 acres, probably not. If you've got 200 acre tracks, probably not. You need property, either one big, huge property that's spread way out, that you can't see it all at once. You know, not like, you know, you're on a section of land and you can look from one corner to the other. There's not a tree on it. That doesn't count. Or you've got, again, a lot of properties that are spread out. And what Hans just said, that's a big deal. You know, that's what you know, Ashley talks about all the time. He's got a lot of properties to hunt. Mm-hmm. They're spread out. We're in East Texas, so they're all surrounded by trees. They're pastures, but they're surrounded by trees. He's got to pull up, open the gate, pull in, close the gate behind him, unload his buggy, go drive around with his thermal. He's scaring everything. I mean, you can spend an hour on one property. You've scared everything off, you know, while you're trying to. This thing, you stop at the gate, send it up, And in 2 minutes, it's like, nope, there's nothing here. Oh, there's something on this backfield. Mm-hmm. And so now we need to go see if we can get back there, see if we can sneak up in time. So again, they have a place for certain people. They're not for everybody. I would not buy one of these until you have a scope and you have a handheld and you're where you want to be on those devices. I do think it's kind of the last thing you buy, but they're legit. They're a lot of fun. And again, there's other uses, you know, recovery. That's a big deal. I mean, again, first of all, guys, we need to be very clear. Every state has different rules. Even Texas has got vague rules about certain things. You can read things and you're not sure. There's a lot of confusion out there about what you can and cannot do with them. Again, coming down to your state wildlife rules. So people will email and call and go, can I do this in my state? I'm like, I don't even know for sure what you can do in Texas because, I mean, I'm 99% sure because I can read this here, but I can read something over here that looks a little funny. So you need to be careful. You're probably going to need to talk to your game warden. But I do think with this price, like right now of kind of where they're at in this $5,500 range, it's going to get more and more. We did a show, and I don't want to forget that we did this and not mention it. We did a show one time about thermal drones. Like, you know, are they practical? Are they useful? Mm-hmm. And we kind of said no. And I think that was at the time. I don't think the quality was as good. The price was much more than it is now. And I don't think it made a lot of sense. But I think as these prices are getting better and better, now they're becoming a tool that I do think are going to be more logical for a lot of people. Not everybody, mm-hmm. but a lot of people.
No, you're exactly right. I was just thinking while you were talking about that, you know, people that have these deer deprivation tags, you know, they've got to go out and keep track, and they kind of have to count the deer on their properties and, you know, and register that with the state. What better way than having that drone? You know, because a lot of times you're riding around. And again, like you said, when you're riding around, you're scaring stuff off. That drone, you send it up, you know, several hundred feet up in the air and you can count deer from the sky. So yeah, there's a lot of cool uses. So the vehicle mounted thermal is in the same boat. Y'all, the one that I've been testing now, made by InfraRay Outdoor that we'll be talking about in future shows, but it just, you know, you mount it to the top of your truck, whatever vehicle you're in, to a side-by-side, whatever. And it just has suction cups and you ride around it. It's got a wired controller so you can pan and tilts and all that 640 resolution. You can Wi-Fi it to a tablet, which I have it Wi-Fi'd to my Apple iPad, and so I can sit there and watch and I can drive down and through our properties and scan with that thing. And it's a luxury item. It's not, again, the scope and the monocular are going to be the first tools in your toolbox, but if you're covering lots of ground, if you're using it, it's accessible, you know, with a side-by-side or a truck, and you want to be able to scan and not have to get out of your truck, which sounds really awesome when it's 20 degrees outside or if it's 90 degrees outside and the mosquitoes are, trying to bite you at every second. It sounds really awesome to be able to stay in the truck. So that has really helped my lazy bone with being able to not have to get out of the truck that often to hunt. So really, really like that. But again, these are items that we'll be talking about in future shows. But to answer the question, yes to both. These are practical tools and it is very, very tactical.
Yeah. What I just want to say, and in closing on these, we do plan to eventually review this InfraRay M6T that Hans is talking about, the roof truck mounted, vehicle mounted thermal. We're still using it, testing it, getting video, figuring it all out. So we do plan to review that. The thermal drones we've talked about reviewing, we haven't done. There's so much to them, and they're changing all the time, but we do sell this stuff. So if you're interested, give us a call. You know, we'd love to have your business. Anyway, we can help you on these. But again, we do know they're a little bit more of a niche. They're not for everybody, but they're fun. Okay. Yeah. So
if y'all have questions about the M6T, vehicle mounted thermal, just call and ask for me. I've been using it quite a bit. So yeah, next question.
We run out of time. More questions. More questions. You better.
All right. This one's going to be easy. This one's easy, which is, you know, right. Okay. I want to buy two thermals, scope, and a handheld, but I don't have the budget for both to be 640 resolution. Do I get a 640 resolution scope and a 384 monocular, or a 640 monocular and a 384 resolution scope? What do you say?
640 scope, 384 monocular. Next question. All right. So Yes, that listen, every single one of these scenarios can get complicated. Mm-hmm. All right. Because you might be looking at a monocular and figure out you can actually get a 640 monocular, mm-hmm. Cheaper than you thought you could. And so you may turn into a situation where I cannot afford the 640 scope that I want. Okay. It may be $5,500, but there's 640 monoculars now for $2,500. You know, so yeah, you might actually exactly. be able to afford a 640 monocular. But if it didn't work out that way, you know, if you're really gonna, I would not go spend $3,500 on a 640 monocular and spend, you know, $2,500 on a 384 scope. 0% chance I would do that. In there's maybe not zero. There's some 1% outlier, but that's not what I would suggest. Definitely want to go with the better scope. Now, again, to be clear, you don't have to have a 640 scope. You can have a 384 scope, but if you've got this budget to get both, and if the question is as it stands, I would go with the 640 scope. And here is my simple nutshell answer. If you're scanning, the goal is to quickly see that there's something out there and hopefully identify it 80 to 90% of the time. Okay, now I'm going to put a quick pause. That's why we're not just wildly huge fans of like some of the little 256 thermal monoculars if you're using them with a nicer, better scope, because mm-hmm. you will be constantly going to your scope. You everything you see out there at 200 yards, you're not going to know what it is. You're just always going to be going to your scope, and there comes some point where it becomes impractical because you'll just be want to staying on your scope. Like, I can't do what anything is with this, and you're throwing it to the side. So that would be my little bit of caveat. But with a good 384 monocular, and I say good, $1,500 to $1,800 now is really good. Mm-hmm. You can do a lot of identifying, but here's the reason that I say, if I'm going to have one 640, I want it to be my scope. And the reason is that is when I'm putting my finger on the trigger and I'm making a final and firm life or death identification. I want the very best image on my rifle all the time, because what I don't want to do is make that misidentification with my finger on the trigger. That's a deer, not a coyote. That's a fawn. That's a calf. That's a whatever. You know, that's a deer with its head down in tall grass. That's not a hog. I don't want to make that mistake. And I'm not saying like, oh, you get a 384 scope, you're going to do that. I'm just making the point that you, when it's time to pull the trigger, that's where you need the best image quality. Mm-hmm. And I have seen this mismatched where you have this really good handheld and you're looking out there and maybe you've got an issue where you've got, you know, coyotes and in with cows, or in, you know, a same field with deer, or hogs and deer or whatever. And it's clear in your handheld, hey, there is the hog, there is the coyote. But you go to the scope and the image isn't quite as good. And now you're like, yeah, that's him. That ain't him, you know? And so again, cause you had the clear identification 5 seconds ago, but on a different device. Then when you go and put your finger on the trigger, you're wrong. And so you don't want to do that. So that's what I would say. Again, I know that people are going to hear that and go, this guy's saying you got to have 640. That's not what I'm saying. But the question is, which do you want to be better? Mm-hmm. If they're not going to be equal, the better needs to be on the rifle, even if that's 384 and 384 resolution. Mm-hmm. I mean, you always want the better on the rifle. That's my 2 cents.
Give me a question.
So one, this is the last question, and this is a good one for you. I will have no comments because you are our resident expert, self-proclaimed. No, I don't. I'm kidding. He's never says that. But he is the expert of the two of us, which doesn't take much. Predator hunter. So no, Hans really does. He has killed a bunch of coyotes over the years. He's gotten more and more and more into predator hunting. Kind of goes back to question one about the hogs.
It does. Yeah, and I was just thinking that.
All the hogs.
Yeah.
When Hans had to get really good at coyote every hunting. Hog in Van Zandt County, Texas. We went to work on the coyotes and the predators. So
definitely had to do that.
So the question is, Hans, do you have any predator hunting tips for a beginner that's trying to get into coyote hunting for the first time? And what are your thoughts on that for the guy that's, hey man, he's got his thermal scope, he's excited.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, it's also spring and summer, you know, it's going to be warming up. It's not going to be winter. It's going to be way different. What are your suggestions to this guy that's like, I got my scope, I got an e-collar, I'm excited. What do I do?
So I think there's, you know, first thing you should know, there's a lot of great coyote hunters out there. I mean, really a lot of good ones. And when I was coming up trying to get better, I really paid attention to what a lot of guys were doing, you know, the calls they were using, callers they were using. And what you find out really quickly is there's no silver bullet. There's, you know, I get a lot of questions. People reach out on social media that says, hey, what call do you like? What call's working well? And really, that's probably the least, important discussion that needs to be had is what call you're playing, whether it's a rabbit or a bird or whatever, you know, vocalization, coyotes barking and that kind of stuff. What really, the biggest mistake I see that people make and that I made early on was playing the caller too loud. These coyotes can hear from a long way away. And when you start blasting, cottontail screams at, 75-80%, that just doesn't sound very natural, and they can figure that out pretty quick. So I definitely start the caller at a lower volume, but the biggest thing that I've learned and the biggest thing that's helped me shoot more coyotes is after you get a coyote run in, or maybe it's two or three coyotes that run in, when you shoot one, keep the caller running. And when I say, if you call them in on a rabbit distress and you get one that comes in, and it's only just a single and it comes in, you shoot it and drop it. Immediately what I do is I switch it over to like coyotes fighting or, you know, just aggressive coyote vocalizations. And I do that every single time. And I'm gonna tell y'all, that is the best tip that I can give you. It's helped me shoot more coyotes than I've ever before, is by immediately when you get a coyote come in and you shoot them. I've had a group of three coyotes come in, shot one of them, other two ran off, turned the collar immediately to coyotes fighting, and got one of them to come back after I shot his buddy. And he came back on a fight. Cause what they hear is they're coming in on a rabbit distress or a small game distress. And when you shoot and you flip it to a fighting, you know, scenario or coyotes fighting, they get really curious, like, oh man, is my buddy in trouble? Do I got to go back and see what's going on for real? Or if you call in a single and you shoot them and there's other coyotes out there that haven't come in, they're like, oh man, something bad's going on. And everybody, it's just ingrained in us, y'all, as not as humans, because they're not human. But when you think there's a fight that's going on, and Jason, when you're in high school and there was a fight out in the hallway, what did everybody do?
Everybody goes.
Run over there to see what's going on. The coyotes are the same way. They want to see a good fight. Either they want to jump in or they want to watch from the sideline. So do that. You will shoot and you will get more coyotes. You'll be more successful. And I'll tell you what, this is not proven. This is going way out there on a limb. But I tell my buddies, whenever we shoot a hog, I have shot coyotes more times than I can tell you after shooting a hog. When they hear that gunshot, it's almost like they run towards it. And I know it sounds crazy, and somebody's going to put that on social media Hans says that they run towards gunshots. But I cannot tell you how many times I've shot a hog and had a coyote show up within the next few minutes of shooting a hog.
Calling or not calling?
Not even calling, but just a gunshot. And I'll shoot a pig, and immediately coyotes will start just – howling or barking in the woods after they hear a gunshot. So I'm not saying that gunshots are calling coyotes in, but you can.
That's awesome. I can't wait.
You can. You absolutely 100% can call in more coyotes after you shoot your rifle. It's not going to just ruin a spot forever. So that's my biggest thing that I learned. I hope I can pass it along to y'all. I hope y'all are successful with it. If you are, let me know. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I think that's legit. I mean, I've seen that happen. And I think the idea that we have is the gun went off.
Yeah.
Everything for, a quarter mile has been scared and is running away and is hunkering down. And it's this idea that I've shot, so it's all over.
All over.
But
yeah.
It's not. There's no question that. And I mean, you've seen the videos. We've all watched videos. I mean, I say videos. We've seen it in person. But a lot of guys, even that are new to this, you see a guy shoot. There's three out there. Boom. Those others take off running. They go out there about 100 yards and they spin around and stop. If that call is still going, it's like, okay, what just happened? Something really loud banged. But wait a minute, and they're standing there.
I've had coyotes that I've shot a coyote, and I've had another coyote run in and basically run right beside his dead buddy, you know, back to the caller. It's crazy that you can definitely do that. But it's legit. It's a real thing. Somebody told me about it a long time ago. It's not a kept secret, or, you know, it's not everybody. It's a big secret, but a lot of people don't do it because you're right. You shoot a coyote, man, with your buddies, it's time to high five. Yeah. It's time
holler
to get out the
hoot and talk holler, out loud.
Slap each other on the butts and get your cameras out and take pictures. Man, but no, you keep that collar running at least for, you know, 5 minutes or so afterwards.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the butt slapping. But other than that, back slapping, I don't know. If you're in a different part of East Texas, I guess, than me. So anyway.
Right,
all right, guys. So listen, I hope y'all enjoyed this. We do. We like this. It is totally random. Like I said, it's good for my ADD because we're all over the place with these. But if you do have questions, you know, Hans and I both said it at the beginning of the show, just leave a comment down there and say, hey, next time you do one of these, I want to know about this or whatever. And we're going to be doing some more because we're getting into the summer. And this is the time of year where, you know, we've still got scopes to review. We've still got some reviews we're working on right now, gathering footage, hunting with some of these optics. So don't worry, there are some more optics coming. But we are slowing down this time of year on the reviews. And so this summer we'll be doing more of these shows. So definitely get us your questions. We would love to do it. And again, if you're looking for a night vision or a thermal scope, we'd love to have your business. It would mean a lot to us. And it's not just me and Hans. I mean, it's us too. It's Ashley. It is the ladies in the office, Michaela and Angela and Jessica. We've got a lot of good people working here. I mean, I'm very proud of the team that we have here. Everybody pulls their weight. They're hardworking. Everybody has got a special niche. They're really good at what they do. And we would love your business and love your support. Mm-hmm. And guys, you can call us at 877-350-1818. One of those three ladies will answer the phone. If they don't answer, it just means that the lines are all tied up and they're on the phone. Leave us a voicemail, but they're answering all day, 8 to 5. And Hans and Ashley and myself, we're on the phones. We would love to help you answer any questions we can for you and have your business when you're ready to order something. You're here. If you're on YouTube at the Late Night Vision Show, you can always go to thelatenightvisionshow.com and see all the past episodes and get a little more info about the show. If you're listening on one of the podcast apps, whatever Apple, what is it called? I just went blank.
iTunes.
iTunes. Thank you. iTunes.
Or
I was looking
iTunes
at some
or
stats
Apple,
the other day.
Apple Podcast. Yeah, they seem
Apple
to change.
Podcast.
One of them changed names recently. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever the Apple. I was looking at the stats, and by far that's where most people are listening. Spotify is next. A lot of people over at Spotify as well. So anyway, check those out. If you're listening on one of that, you can always come to YouTube and watch it here as well. If you're looking for Hans, he's on all the social medias at HANSETX, Hans ETX, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube as well. Outdoor Legacy, you already know where we are on all the socials. as well as the Late Night Vision Show. Just go type in whichever one of us you're looking for, any of these outfits, and you'll find us on most all the socials. So we're there.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. This has been episode 309. This is the Late Night Vision Show. We've got a new episode for you this Thursday, and every Thursday we look forward to seeing y'all next week for episode 310. Until now and then, y'all be safe. Take care, and we'll see y'all soon.